time for us to talk Red Sox. And to do that, we turn to the telephone and welcome back to the program Jen McCaffrey of The Athletic. Jen, good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well, buddy. I'm starting to panic a little bit. Seven straight Grapefruit League losses. The Mayor's Cup is in jeopardy. What's happening?
Yeah, it's a little different than last year when they were reeling off all these wins. I think they're just sort of taking things slow here. I mean, you do want to see the offense at least start to sort of pull things together. I think, you know, earlier today anyway, in the first few innings, you know, Swihart was able to drive in had a double and drove in two runs, and there was another minor rally that they kind of put together, but then kind of, you know, the pitching fell apart a little bit. So I don't think there's any need to worry too much, but it would be nice to kind of see them be able to sort of pull things together a little bit offensively in the next week or so.
They've been making some roster moves of late, and one of them was to send down Michael Chavis, but as you did a wonderful piece on him, this is a guy that they've had high hopes for. He's had some struggles, some of his own making, but he appears to be getting closer and closer.
Yeah, I think they thought he really made some good strides this camp. You know, as you mentioned, he's gone through kind of a lot. You know, he had the PED suspension last year, which of course is something you don't want to see, especially for a guy that they drafted in the first round in 2014. But he's also had some injuries too that have sort of messed up his timeline a little bit. It's not like he was going to make the team out of camp to begin with, just because he's sort of blocked at first base and third base. They've been trying to get him some reps at second base too, for more flexibility. But I think he just made some strides offensively at the plate. Cora really liked what he saw. You know, last year, Chavis was sort of dealing with an oblique strain, so he missed most of spring training, and Cora didn't really get to see him. So he was talking about being able to sort of see that consistency at the plate. So, you know, he'll spend time in Pawtucket and get those consistent at-bats that he needs. When a need arises, as it usually does in a long season, he'll probably be the next in line.
What's going to be the role for Dustin Pedroia this season?
I think he sort of surprised people a little bit. I think in the sense that we weren't really sure what to expect of how many games they could get out of him. And so far, so good with him. He's, kind of consistently, been in there every couple days. There haven't been any setbacks, it's going to be interesting to see how they play this out, but I can envision, a few weeks ago, I envisioned him playing, maybe 2 to 3 games a week. Maybe it's more like 3 to 4 or 4 to 5. I think they're definitely going to just take it slow in these first few months to build him up. But if things continue on the same path, he might have more of a role than we initially thought, just because there was so much uncertainty surrounding him. And with each passing day, as he continues to, get better and stronger, he might be able to contribute more than we thought he would. One injury or one slide or one, tweak of the knee might change all that. But, as of right now, the way he is and, the way that he's been getting out there and getting after it, he's been looking a lot better than I think most people thought he would.
Obviously, they've got a little surplus of catchers. Alex Cora has said he does not plan on keeping 3 on the roster. So do we know yet who might be the odd man out?
We don't. And that's probably, along with the bullpen, that's probably one of the bigger questions of how things are going to end in about 2 weeks when camp closes and they head out to Seattle for the opener. They've said all along, Dombrowski, Cora, and pretty much everybody has said that they want to end spring training with a 2-catcher spot. Last year they brought Swihart that he made opening day, but he was that bench player, and he sort of had this in-between role, and they said they're not going to do that this year. They're going to, stick with 2 of those 3 guys, whether it's, Swihart, Vasquez, or Leon at catcher, and probably end up trading the 3rd guy. So a catcher needs always arise at some point in spring training for teams. So I'm sure they're keeping an eye on, and making some phone calls here and there. Nothing of yet, but for Swihart specifically, he's had a really good spring offensively, and he's getting more and more, reps behind the plate. So, I wouldn't be surprised at all if he gets one of those 2 spots.
We're talking to Jen McCaffrey of The Athletic here on Downtown. They're not saying or using this term publicly, but are we looking at a closer by committee?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't think it's going to be a traditional, you know, what we think of as a closer by committee in the sense of multiple guys sort of rotating through that role. But they did, you know, my colleague at The Athletic, Chad Jennings, had a piece last week, I think it was, with Cora and Lavangie talking about how they might go with Barnes and Brazier to start the season and sort of use sort of a matchup type situation. You know, they don't want to term it closer by committee because that seems to have a negative connotation just from past, you know, experiences with that type of setup. But this one would be more of sort of a matchup of, you know, who's in the lineup or, you know, who's coming up in that situation. And wouldn't be, you know, three or four or five guys that they're kind of mixing through that role. They stick with one of those two guys. Mainly, I think, to see who takes to that role better. Maybe one of those two guys, you know, is better in the ninth inning than the other and kind of takes over that role full time. But as of right now, it does sound sort of that they're going to go with both those guys, you know, testing in the ninth inning and see where they go from there.
Obviously, how far they go depends largely this season on the arms of Chris Sale and David Price. Is the best news from their first work this spring that they felt good the day after?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think that's always the thing that they're looking for in spring training. It's not about, you know, how many hits they gave up or how many, you know, home runs or anything like that. The results don't necessarily matter. It's more of, you know, how they're feeling. Were they able to get the work in, you know, and kind of get back into the swing of things. I don't think you really start to worry about results until, you know, honestly, until the season starts. We sometimes forget, you know, I think we put a lot of emphasis on results in spring training just because it's natural that the games are starting back up. But you kind of forget that this is practice for these guys and they're just trying to sometimes test new pitches out, test pitches in certain situations. Do I want to, you know, how does this pitch feel with, you know, two outs and guys on or a certain, you know, count, throwing it in a certain count. So I think that, you know, that factors into a lot of some of these crooked numbers that might come up. But for both of those guys, and Eovaldi today, it looked really good. So that's always promising. And yeah, the next day is what's key in making sure, you know, there's no unusual soreness or anything like that.
Very interesting piece that you did in The Athletic on how the Red Sox use playing various games to not only relax, but really to bond as a team.
Yeah, you know, it was just one of those off day, quirky off day stories. There was not too many guys around the clubhouse, but they're always playing cards or ping pong or whatnot. And a lot of teams do this, but yeah, I just kind of was curious about the dynamics of who plays with who and what games they play and that kind of thing. And one of the biggest things that struck me was that we've talked so much about Darwinson Hernandez, the young lefty that's sort of rising pretty quickly through the system. I think he'll probably start off the year in Portland this year. And he's been right in the mix. You know, he's had no fear kind of mixing in with the veterans. He plays with Bogarts all the time. And, you know, it's been funny to watch this, you know, really young guy, his first time in big league camp. And he's just, you know, competing with all these veteran guys in some of these games. So it's a good way, I guess, to kind of ease him into the organization. And, you know, that's the point of having him there is, you know, so we can learn from the guys, but also get to know them. So when he does come up, you know, he feels more comfortable. And it seems like so far he hasn't had any problem, you know, getting comfortable with those guys.
Well, Jen, it's great to talk with you again. We look forward to catching up with you and talking Sox all season long. Thanks, as always, for making time for us this afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
Jen McCaffrey, check out her work in The Athletic. Subscribe if you haven't already. It'll be well worth the money you spend. It's a terrific bargain for great sports content, not just on the Red Sox, but all sports as well at The Athletic.